Well, today we just sang about the little town of Bethlehem. Now, Tim, it's not Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. There's a Bethlehem probably 6,000 miles away over in the Holy Lands, just a few miles to the south of Jerusalem. And in that beautiful song that we just sang, written 160 years or so ago, we sang that from that little town of Bethlehem over in Israel, that wondrous, wondrous gift is given. It says, "For Christ, the everlasting light, our Lord Emmanuel, is born of Mary." It's a beautiful, beautiful song, beautiful hymn. And it really kind of nails the story, because that's what happened. That's what happened, and that's where it happened. Jesus was born there in that little town of Bethlehem a little over 2,000 years ago. And we heard our dear Grace sing another beautiful song, Noel. 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 What does that mean? Anybody know? It was a word we use this time of year. And the word itself is French. It's a French word. But it's derived from the Latin word natus, which is the root of the word nativity. Nativity, right. The word itself literally means birth. And over time, Noel has become synonymous with the birth of Jesus. So again, when we hear Grace kind of belting out, "Noel, come and see what God has done," we're talking specifically about the birth of Jesus in that specific place, that little town of Bethlehem. That's where it happened. And in our first reading today, we heard from the prophet Micah 750 years before that first Noel occurred. And if you're one of the group of wise men who attended Bible study this past Wednesday, you know that Micah was one of the 12 minor prophets, right, Charlie? And he lived in and around Jerusalem circa 750 BC. And Micah, as with most of the prophets, was warning the people about the coming judgments of their lands. Things were going to get really bad for the people in that area. The Assyrians were coming. The Babylonians were coming. Eventually the Romans would be coming. Everybody was coming for these people. It was going to get pretty bad, all of which proved to be true. But Micah and most of the other prophets, they also included for the people a way out, a rescue plan. Micah sprinkled his dire prophecy with hope. Hope. And on this third Sunday of Advent, that's what we cling to. In times of trouble, in times of doubt, in times of mourning, especially when we've lost people we love, we cling to hope. We cling to the hope that's found in Christmas. And so Micah, in the midst of his rebukes and his laments, he inserts this ray of hope. He says this. He says, "You, Bethlehem, though you are small, out of you will come a ruler. She who is in labor will bear a son. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the majesty and the name of the Lord. His greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace." Micah said that 750 years before the first Christmas. "Hold on," says Micah. "Just hang in there. Something good, something great. The Messiah will come out of that little town of Bethlehem on that first Christmas morning." But first, there was a young couple named Mary and Joseph that had to get there, right? They had to get there to Bethlehem. Now, you'll remember from our gospel reading today, from Luke chapter 2, a census had been ordered by those bossy Romans. And young Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth, but needed to register for the census down to the south in Bethlehem. Now it says in verse 5 that Mary was expecting a child. And it also says that she was pledged to be married to Joseph. So according to Luke, they're not yet married. Despite the fact that she's not only expecting, she's due, right? She's about due. And so Joseph and his exceedingly pregnant betrothed, Mary, set off from Nazareth and head towards Bethlehem, a journey that would take them about one full week. Now, if you look at this great puzzle map over here, I can't remember who did this. I'm thinking maybe it was Barry. Jerry, did you do this? No? Some anonymous person. No. Tim put this map together. I have to give him credit. I love this map. If you get a chance, if you can't quite see it from there, you know, take a look at it later if you haven't already. But there's a map. There's a map in the middle of there, and that's of the Holy Lands. And you should kind of all be somewhat familiar with the lay of the land here. We've talked about this before. I've drawn pictures of it. Kurt loves it when I do that. This is the Holy Land. And the Sea of Galilee, if you can see it, is at the top. And it's connected like a balloon on a string to the Dead Sea at the bottom. And that string connecting the two is what, Linda? The Jordan River. The Jordan River. Everybody with me? Guys awake? So you got the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea. That's pretty much it. With the Mediterranean Sea, you can see that off to the left. That's the lay of the land. It's from the river to the sea, right? You heard that before. Not a big area. About maybe 70 miles or so as the crow flies north to south. That's about the size of it. And Nazareth is up there on the north, just to the west of the Sea of Galilee. That's where Nazareth is, kind of between the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea. That's where Nazareth lies. And Bethlehem, you might know, is all the way to the south, down by the Dead Sea, just below Jerusalem. Okay, so now here's an interesting point. Again, as the crow flies, a straight line, Tim, it's about 70 miles, maybe, between Nazareth and Bethlehem. Now, I know the guys here are thinking, oh, I could do that in less than a week, right? I could go less than a week. Now try to remember, you have a young girl with you, right? She's young, a teenager, 9 months pregnant, riding on a donkey. Yeah? No pickup trucks. No pickup trucks, right? Nothing like that. Nope. And here's the other issue. Now this is what we sometimes forget. A very interesting part of the story. Something stood in their way, and you could see it if you were up here looking at the map. Something was between Nazareth and Bethlehem on a straight line. And what it was the region of Samaria. Right in the way. Samaria stood between them, and there was much cultural and religious conflict at that time between the Jews and the Samaritans. So much so that Joseph would have rightly so considered it unsafe and probably inappropriate to travel straight through Samaria. So he went around it. They certainly would have instead headed almost due east from Nazareth to the Jordan River. And then they would have followed the river south, kind of meandering on down south from the north down towards Bethlehem. That's the path they would have taken. In total, their likely route would have been about 90 miles. And it's calculated that they would have traveled at no more than 2 miles per hour. And they probably couldn't have traveled much more than 6 hours per day, given the conditions there. All that being said, it would have taken them about a week to get to that little town of Bethlehem. Pretty long trip. Now, if you can, like, maybe close your eyes, which half of you already have, you can almost imagine that young couple. And remember, these are real people. These were real people. This is not some fiction. And they were setting off from their hometown on a donkey, heading down to Bethlehem. And think of it. They were engaged, but not married, and expecting a child. And society would not have been on their side. They were in it alone. And they were journeying, making that journey together. Just the two of them, committed to each other and committed to God. Okay, but why? Why did it all happen, right? What was the purpose of it all? The purpose of Christmas? What's the purpose? Well, the answer to that question was given by the angel to the shepherds in our gospel reading today. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news for all people. A Savior has been born." And there it is. There it is. A Savior for all people has been born. And that's the key. That's the key. Not just a baby who would grow up to be a king or some great leader. A Savior. A Savior has been born. A Savior saves. A Savior brings salvation. And that's what the angel announced. And that's what the Bible promises. And that's why the news is good. And that's the message of Christmas. This is good news. And it brings us to our closing point today. I was really struck by the line from the prophet Isaiah, one of the major prophets, right, Charlie? Isaiah is one of the four major prophets. In our responsive reading today, it's printed in your bulletin, he says this, "With joy you will draw from the well, you will draw water from the well of salvation." And when I read that, it reminded me of something. Water from the well of salvation. I don't know if it reminds you of anything, but it reminded me of the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. Yeah, see your head's nodding. That's right. In John chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus tells this woman who he met at a well in the midday sun, he says to her this, he says, "Everyone who drinks this water," he's talking about from the well in the ground, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give will never thirst." And then he goes on to reveal to her, that he's the Messiah. And I think she's the first person he's told that to. I'm pretty sure that's right. He tells her, "I'm the Messiah." Now think of that. Think about that. What do we know about that person? Well, we know she's a woman. That's an interesting point right there. And that's obvious. And she's a social outcast. That's made clear from the story. But probably most important, she's a Samaritan. Did you remember that? She's from Samaria. The story of the woman at the well takes place in Samaria, the very place that Joseph and Mary were so careful to avoid, and understandably so. Jesus very purposefully went straight through. Even though his disciples cautioned him against it, Jesus didn't avoid it at all. He went straight through. And he most certainly did not avoid her, the woman at the well. The sinner, right? The outcast. The Samaritan. No, no. Jesus says, that's who I want. I want her. That's who I'm going to tell. I want her. I want all of that. All of her baggage. I want it all. Jesus says, I avoid nothing. Because I'm the well. I'm the well of salvation for all people. That's the gospel. That is the good news. And that's why we sing loudly, Noel. That's why there's Christmas. Amen.